Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
I realize church is the only place you can shout fire in public. You can shout fire in public in church, nowhere else. It's actually against the law to do it anywhere else. Did you know that? If you shout fire in a movie theater, they'll arrest you. Amen. But when we talk about fire, we know what we're talking about. Amen. Come on, we are lit people in Christ. Say, I'm lit. Come on. Bible says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it's so important that you realize you need fire when you walk with Christ. You see, what fire does is fire keeps you awake. When a people who live without any fire, they become dull and they become desensitized. You become lukewarm, right? And one of the commands the Bible tells us is that we need to be sober and we need to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But when you got fire, the devil can't bite you. You're too hot. Come on, anybody want to be lit today? Come on, fiery people, make some noise one more time. Come on. You can't have fire and be cute. When you're on fire, you don't care who's looking. Right. Leonard Ravenhill, a great revivalist, once said, he said, you never have to advertise a fire. You never have to advertise a fire. See, the church needs to just simply get on fire. We spend thousands of dollars on marketing and advertising and trying to get people to come to church. But listen, if we were on fire the way Jesus intended, people are going to walk past this place and want to run in this place. See, in the world, you see a fire, you may run out of it. But in Christ, we need to run in the fire. God showed up to Moses as who? A burning bush. Come on fire. Told Moses, take up your feet because you're about to step on some holy ground. Our God is a consuming fire. Come on. We need to learn how to get in the fire because in the fire, God consumes us. See, when we are consumed by God, we get on fire. And Jesus is looking for a people that will be consumed by his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But let's jump straight into the word. Today is the day before Labor Day, and I'm aware that around the area where we are, some streets are going to be blocked off within the next few hours. It's going to be a lot of traffic. So I want to make sure that you guys have enough time to get to where you need to go. But before we leave, I want us to step into the fire a little bit more. Amen? As we get into the word. So we are still in our True Ghost Stories series. Anybody been blessed by the Holy Spirit since then? I still feel like there's some more that he wants to reveal to us concerning himself. So we're going to stay here maybe for another 2 weeks. How many of you are enjoying your Christianity? Right? This is like one of my personal goals. I want to teach believers how to enjoy their life in Christ. And if you're not enjoying it, something is wrong, all right? And we need to fix that. The Christian life is not to be endured, it's to be enjoyed. Yeah, that's good. And when you realize that what Jesus Christ did for you was to come to give you an abundant life so that you can live life more abundantly than the rest of the world, we need to take that promise seriously. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, you have permission to live life more abundantly than the rest of the world. Come on. And when we believe that, We'll be organized and unified enough to throw our own parades. The church will have their own parades on Eastern Parkway. Just to celebrate the God we serve. And the city will want to join in with us. So we got some more work to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start from here. And I know a number of people are away this weekend trying to get their last hurrah in before the routine of the work schedule and school and all that stuff. But one of the things I just felt led to talk about today, again, is as the Holy Spirit, I just wanted to share with the limited time that I have, talk about what are some of the things that a church forfeits when it ignores the Holy Spirit. What do you forfeit or what do you lose out on when you ignore the Holy Spirit, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to go to verse 9. And I need you to understand that the Holy Spirit is not somebody that we're supposed to just simply talk about as a theological concept, but he is a person that we're supposed to encounter, we're supposed to experience. See, the Holy Spirit, if you were here earlier in our series, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. Amen. Right? Holy Spirit is not an it. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when Jesus spoke about him in John 16, he referenced him as he will come and he will guide us. The book of Revelation talks about how the Holy Spirit talks to us. He speaks to the church, right? He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So we need to have ears to hear. We need eyes to see what the Spirit is doing. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Bible says that there are things that God has prepared for those who love him. Things that have never been seen before. Things that have never been heard before. The unseen, the Bible says, is now made known to us because the Bible says that but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The things that are prepared can only be attained once they are revealed. And it's important you understand the revelation of God. What is a revelation? It means that something was hidden and it has now been being made plain or made clear. That something was veiled and then the veil is removed in order for you to see what's been hiding. The benefits of your salvation, the glory, the Bible says, that Jesus Christ died to give us will only become made known to you by way of revelation from who? The Spirit. Capital S, the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The deep things of God. The Holy Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Amen. So let's stop right there. So without the Spirit, the things of God will not be real to a person. That the Holy Spirit makes the things of God real to us. The cross is real to you only by way of revelation from the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, is real to you only because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus and the effects of the blood, the benefits of the blood, are only made real to you once you have the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Without revelation, the things of God will not be real to you. It'll just be concepts. It'll just be something you read about in a book. See? So the ways of God remain mysterious to us until we get revelation from God. So this is why my prayer life changed when I understood this, because trying to get people to understand God without the Spirit that makes God known is a waste of time. They won't understand the blood, no matter how many times you plead it. They won't understand it without the Spirit to make it make sense to them. The Scriptures won't even make sense to people because the Word is Spirit and life. It takes the Spirit of God to take the Scriptures and make it real to you. Amen? You ever read something in Scripture and you was like, I just don't get it? Yeah? Come on, it happens to all of us. It still happens to me. There's some verses I'm just like, God, what are you talking about? I know it's good, and I know it's important, but I just don't got the revelation yet. See? Revelation is a key. Once God gives you, remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus' response to Peter was, flesh and blood has not what? Revealed this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. You see? Now that question, when Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am, but who do you say that I am, had everything to do with revelation. It also lets us know that Jesus never told his disciples who he was. Because it would make no sense for him to ask them that question. So they were following him, but didn't really know if he was the Son of God or not. They didn't know if he really was the Christ or not. They were just walking by faith. So they were walking with him by faith, but now Jesus wanted to take their faith to another level. So he needed to give them a revelation. But before the revelation, he needed to give them a question. Because the question, let me back up. We want God to tell us everything. But God will not give you an answer that you're not ready for. Why? Because it's his way of protecting you. Let me help you. God will not give you an answer that you're not ready for. Why? Because anything, any truth that you possess, that you have in your possession, you are responsible for. You are responsible for the knowledge you possess. I remember God told me something one day. It sobered me up. He said to me, you are only responsible for what I've revealed to you. Meaning, I used to be like, man, there's so much in the Bible that I got to learn. There's so much I need to know, and I don't know. And I used to be afraid, like, if I'm not living or doing something right, that I may not have understood yet, but I wonder if God is going to, you know, keep me or hold me accountable. And God just said to me, no, you're only required to live from a revelation that I've given you. So apart from the revelation, I don't have a responsibility for it. But once I get a revelation from God, I'm responsible for what I know from God. Peter said, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And right after that, Jesus then says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. See that? Peter now had an upgrade in his responsibility because of the revelation he just got from the Father. And so he said, you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys wasn't given. Keys provide. What do keys provide? Access. So the access into new realms in the kingdom came only after Peter got a revelation. With things that I had not seen, that Peter had not seen, what Peter did not hear, what didn't enter into his heart yet. Once he got a revelation, Jesus gave him a new level of access by giving him the keys. Why? See, now that I got access to something, I got permission to walk into that room anytime I want to. Yeah. Yeah. See, once you got a revelation of healing, you now have the ability to walk in healing anytime you want to. Well, if you get a revelation about wealth in scripture, forget it. You can walk in wealth. Most of us just have a revelation of provision. God will provide. So our needs are met. But then we don't know how to break through into new levels of wealth because we don't know what the promise is. So God only gives us keys to access the realms that we pursue revelation for. You want authority to cast out devils? You first need a revelation of the authority you have over devils. Once you get the revelation, then God gives you the keys. Then he says, go cast out some devils. You see? Keys give you access, but it also gives you authority. Everybody say authority. How many of you, when you were growing up, wanted keys to your house, but your parents didn't give you keys until you were what? Responsible. Until you were ready. Until you proved that you were ready to protect the keys that you got. If you're not responsible, you might lose the keys. A stranger might pick it up and use it. If you're not responsible, your best friend might want to come by the house and you just go and make a copy for him or her. And they come into your house whenever they want. You see, like you have a certain responsibility to protect the revelation you receive, because a revelation is a key. See that? So the Bible said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. All right? So I want you to write this down. The secret to God is the Holy Spirit. The secret to God is the Holy Spirit. He reveals the mysteries to us. He makes God real to you. Without the Holy Spirit, God remains just an impersonal theological construct, that you have a faith that says you know God, but in practicality you don't. But the Holy Spirit makes God real to you. Amen? So what does a church forfeit when it ignores or quenches the Holy Spirit? Number one, power. Power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You guys should know it by now. Jesus told his disciples, and you shall receive power. Everybody say power. The number one reason why you need the Holy Spirit and why we need the Spirit is for power. What is power? Power is ability to do. Power is the ability to do. I told you guys, I think, before that when Jesus came, the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, one of the differences that although they're the same, but they have different missions. When Jesus Christ came, he came to deal with our sin. But the Holy Spirit has come to deal with our weaknesses. And so the body of Christ remains weak or disabled until they receive the power from on high. If power means ability or ability, it makes you able. Power makes you able to do. The opposite of able is to be disabled. So the body of Christ without the power of God is disabled. We have a disability without the Spirit. We can't function or operate or do the works that Jesus said we will do until we have received the empowerment, the enablement from on high. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses, and you will go into the world and be witnesses in here in Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, etc. Amen. But we cannot be effective witnesses. God does not want you to be sent out just simply based on information. Power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Okay. And there are levels to power. Hopefully I'll get to that soon. But just because you got filled one time doesn't mean you got all the power there is. There are levels to the empowerment. Remember, he only gives you the amount or the measure that you're willing to steward or be responsible for. Imagine if some of you had the power right now to walk past people and your Shadow Hill people. Wow. Like Peter. Yeah. Imagine if some of you had that power. Are you ready for not only the demonic backlash, but are you ready for the media attention that will come upon you? The girl who's Shadow Heels on the paper, on the posters. TMZ chasing you down everywhere you go. You gotta think about the mental and emotional pressure that Jesus was under. We don't think about those things. His apostles were all under this thing. You know how many people were trying to come behind Jesus' back and get to Peter and Judas and all of them? That's why Judas eventually took the bait and sold Jesus out. Because people were constantly trying to give the money. Yo, just tell us. Just give us Jesus' secret. What's the secret sauce? Come on. Is he really from God or is he a devil? All right. How many people will sell Jesus out? That's why the Bible, Jesus walked into the temple and threw over the tables. He said, you have turned my house into a den of thieves. Power is not only empowering, but power corrupts. So God has to deal with some of our hearts and deal with some of our souls before he can trust us with some levels of power. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Yeah. Unless you have submitted to the Holy Ghost and allowed him to work on your character. Yeah. Not just your ability, but your character, amen? Amen? God allows us to go through some tests and trials in life so that he can prepare us to be able to manage new levels of power, all right? So that's just one thing. I could stay there for another 2 hours, but I just want to give you guys some stuff to think about. Number two, what do you forfeit when you ignore? John chapter 6, you forfeit the voice of God. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, Jesus said to his disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. See, this is how we hear the voice of God today. The voice of God is spoken to us. The Bible says that God speaks to the Spirit, and the Spirit now speaks to our own spirit, right? He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. You see that? So the Spirit is hearing what the Father and Son is saying in heaven, and the Spirit is now transmitting that information to you on earth because he lives in you. So when you hear the voice of God, you are hearing the Spirit of God speaking to you or echoing to you what they are saying in heaven. So that's why in Revelation, John wrote, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So it's important we remember we need communion with the Holy Spirit to stay in tune with what the voice of God is saying today. Amen? There is present truth. There is present truth. There is present knowledge that God needs you to know for today, that God needs you to know for tomorrow, for next year, 5 years down the line. Notice he said he would declare to us what is to come. So when you hear the voice of God, God is not only going to speak to you about your present or your now, he's going to speak to you about your future. And that's why we have divine intel. Because we know what's coming. Those of us that know the voice of God, we get information ahead of schedule or ahead of time. There's some things that I can tell you right now that you can mark it down that's going to happen in the next 2 years. Not everybody, 5 years. And there's some things I don't share with everybody because, again, not everybody is ready to handle. I got out of worship about a few months ago. I wasn't thinking about Donald Trump. As soon as I got out of worship, the Spirit of God said to me, you think Donald Trump is bad? Wait till you see the one that's coming. I was in. You see that? I kid you not. I wasn't. Donald Trump, America wasn't even on my mind. I was enjoying the presence of God. The Holy Spirit just said that to me. And I just wrote it down. We getting all worked up about this guy. Yeah. So see, this is why you can't just listen to every voice. You just can't listen to everybody, what everybody is saying on the media or on the news. Come on, you got to learn how to filter this stuff and learn how to allow the Spirit of God to be your number one source. Remember, he is your legal advisor. Remember that. The Paracletos. All right, my time is up. I got to give you a few more. What else does a church forfeit when it ignores or quenches the Holy Ghost? Conviction. Conviction. John 16, verse 7 and 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Remember that? And we learned about the difference between conviction and condemnation. But listen, one of the most dangerous things out there is a church without the Holy Spirit. I believe you need to warn people. You need to desperately wake people up and say, if you're in a church, see a building that says church on it and there's no Holy Spirit in it, you better run away from it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people of sin. See, a leader that pushes away the need for the dependency of the Holy Spirit wants to do what he wants to do. Because when you got the Holy Ghost working in you, you can't do what you want to do. You can try to sin. But it never feels good. You never feel comfortable because the Spirit is in you. So the Bible says don't quench the Spirit because he's empowering you. He's convicting you. So when we have a church, when a church is void of the Spirit and it is dry and it is powerless, it has no power to change. And the people are free to do whatever they want to do. So the Bible talks about a story when Ichabod was written on a house and the glory was lifted. It was because the people were in there doing whatever they wanted to do with no regards to God. The Holy Spirit keeps you conscious of God. So even if you want to go off track, Spirit will bring you right back on. Amen? That's why you want the Holy Ghost. He keeps you on track. Come on, what else the Holy Spirit does? Without the Holy Spirit, a church becomes fruitless without the Holy Spirit, a church lacks gifts and fruit. It lacks gifts and it lacks fruit. We learned about the gifts of the Spirit about a week or two ago, right? That the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. But then we didn't talk about this, but we also learned in the book of Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, temperance. You see, when we have the Holy Spirit working in us, he produces that kind of fruit in us. We are intentional about trying to grow in love and peace and joy, right? But again, without the Holy Spirit, all we have is our flesh to depend on. So a church, you see a church where there is no church is perfect. But I tell you, the church where there's no Holy Ghost working in an operation, all you get is the flesh. So the works of the flesh, there's drama, there's discord, there's gossip, there's slander, there's witchcraft, there's all types of stuff going on. You see? Because man-made religion is when the Spirit leaves the building. And we're still operating, and we have to try to think for God. Because we don't know what God really is saying. So it's my word over yours. It's the leader's word over yours. And because of that, I had to use control tactics. Because if the Spirit convicts, then we don't have to control. I don't have to convict you. The Spirit will do the job. Right? I don't have to convict one person in this building. To the ghost will do the job. But then I got to use condemnation. I got to use guilt trips. I got to use scare tactics. I got to do all this stuff to keep you around. But there's no Spirit. Very dangerous. I'm going to give you two more. When the Holy Spirit is quenched or ignored in the church, we forfeit unity. We forfeit unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Ephesians 4, verse 3 through 4. God, this is something that is it's not popularly known. Unity is one of the manifestations of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the ability to unify us in ways that nothing else can. This might sound a little foreign to you, but think about on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls got saved, all came together. No one had to pump or pry them or launch a campaign of unity. They just came together. The Bible says, and they devoted themselves to prayer and to breaking bread. The Holy Spirit did that. Right? But one of the things I love about this, about the unifying agent or the power of the Holy Spirit to unify us is this. This is what happens. If we're listening to one Spirit, all of us in this room, if we're listening to one Spirit, we need to learn how to trust each other to hear the Spirit of God for ourselves. That's how we can be unified. So that means this. If Larry comes to me and says, I prayed about something and I believe the Holy Spirit told me something, what I need to do is go to the Holy Spirit myself and say, let me see what the Holy Spirit told Larry and see if it's true. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. Listen, this is so important. No one has the responsibility of hearing the Holy Spirit for you. I hear something, and I hear something, and even if what I hear, it might be in alignment to him, It might be an agreement to him, and it might be times where I might hear something different. But look at what he says. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Just even if I hear something that is contrary to what he said, I'm still going to pursue peace first. Why? Because he might hear one thing, I might hear one thing. But if I keep peace at the forefront, the clarity may come later. Because Andre might get another word to clarify what we both heard. Are you seeing this? Andre might hear. This is in the Bible. I don't remember exactly, but in the book of Acts, it talked about how Paul and Silas wanted to go one place. And Peter and James and John said no. They wanted them to go somewhere else. They both had different revelations. Paul said, I need to go this place. They were saying, no, I think you need to go here. They prayed. They disagreed. But they still kept their peace. Said, all right, go and figure it out. If God is with you, it'll be fruitful. It'll be blessed. You see, when we find that people don't agree with us, we sometimes get mad. We get defensive. Right? Well, if you don't agree with me, then you go out and do what you want. And we don't even care to follow up with them to see how they go. Because I listen, you should listen to me. That's not keeping the unity of the Spirit. I hope this is not too lofty for you. We have to seek peace. And then guess what? Peace, the Bible says, will guard your heart and mind. Come on. Peace will guard your heart in the decision-making process. There are times the Holy Spirit is going to tell you to do something that you don't even want to do, but you got a peace about it. I don't want to leave my job, but I feel a peace about leaving. Come on. The bond of peace. God does not need your comprehension to be God. God doesn't need your comprehension to be God. But what he does need is your obedience. Because if I'm God, I can tell you anything and you'll do it. So if you want to learn how to keep the unity of the Spirit and the unity that we are supposed to have with one another, learn how to value peace over being right. Amen. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. You got to learn how to make peace. A lot of us got drama in our lives right now because we're not choosing the way of peace. We're choosing the way of being right. You don't gotta fight anybody to prove how right you are. Right is right. But what you need to do, the Bible says, is make peace. All right. What's the nature of the Holy Spirit? He's a dove. What did we learn about a dove? Peace. Peace. It doesn't go anywhere. There's conflict, confusion. So if you're going to learn how to let the dove to remain on you, you got to learn how to make peace. The flesh wants to be right. The flesh loves arguing. I'm preaching. I'm getting on somebody's nerve right now. The flesh loves arguing. Why? The flesh wants to be seen. The Holy Spirit doesn't care if he's seen. But the flesh wants to be seen. I want to prove my point. You're going to listen to me. You're going to understand me. When you're doing that, the Holy Spirit is just flapping. I'm going to just leave you to yourself. Until you calm down and get back into a state of peace, I'll come. You ever felt that? Like after you got mad and you blew up on somebody and you just felt all empty inside? You knew you was doing something you shouldn't have been doing. So you got to learn how to practice the pause.
Yes, come on. Practice the pause. That's good.
You got to learn how to catch yourself in the act. And say, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing it. I'm doing it again. Holy Spirit, come. Yes. I guess my next you say, practice the pause. Come on, practice the pause. Practice the pause. Learn how to keep your cool. Learn how to keep your cool. See what happens? And the Holy Spirit comes in between the midst of that. He brings clarity. What's that? And now we got to be accountable, right? Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to give you our last one. I'm done. What do we forfeit when we ignore or quench the Holy Spirit? That was really good, Andre. True worship. True worship. John chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So when a church ignores the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to offer God true worship. Impossible. If Jesus had to say true worship, then that means there's false worship. There is false worship. And the beautiful aspect of this reality we have in Christ is that our ability to worship God in spirit and in truth allows us to walk with God and know God in ways no one else can. So as I close, I want you to think about this thing. Are you satisfied with your level of friendship with the Holy Spirit today? How well do you know him? How well do you know him? If you want to honor Jesus, you have to honor the Spirit that he said he was going to send to you. You can't walk and follow Jesus without following the Spirit. Jesus said, the sons of God, or John wrote, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit in him that allowed him not to react the way he would have wanted to. And the thing about it is, when the Holy Spirit is in you, you don't even know what you can do until the moment strikes. You don't know. You don't realize how much the Holy Spirit is developing you and maturing you in Christ until you realize you didn't react the way you would have normally reacted in your flesh. So every time you worship, every time you spend time in his presence, something is happening. Something is being formed. Christ is being formed in you. But eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you and me. But he is making it known. That but is important. But he has made it known to us by his Spirit. Amen? Come on. Your future is not uncertain. The Holy Spirit will make your future bright and make it known to you. He will illuminate your ways, illuminate your steps. But you got to pay attention. I say you got to pay attention because he's speaking. The question is, are you listening? Let's all stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.